Praise God. I think there was 12 young people up here. And if that song really is the cry of their heart, there's no telling what God can do in Martin County. Jerusalem and surrounding areas was turned upside down with 12 people that were committed, sold out, surrendered, yielded, cleansed, filled with the Spirit of God. Wow, what a change that took place back in the beginning of the New Testament church, and I believe that it can happen again. We really, really, really allow Him to take full control, surrender ourselves, and be filled with His Spirit. So vital, so necessary. May God do it again. Not just with those 12, but let's add in all anybody else. Anybody else? Thank the Lord. We can do like Moses did and say, well, I can't because of all the, whatever reason. Or like Gideon, I can't because of his reasons. On and on we can go. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He makes it possible. He gives us what we need. What is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? Lord, let it be so. Let's use it for His glory. See what God can do. See what God can do through our meager, insufficient, we think, resources. God can do great things. Lord, help me. Jeremiah chapter 6. I'm going to read several verses this evening. But there's just one phrase in one verse, just a small phrase that kind of jumps off the page at me. But to give a little bit of context, I want to go back to verse number 9 of Jeremiah chapter 6 to pick up a reading. I thought about going back to the very first verse, but I think we can do what is necessary at verse number, beginning with verse number 9. I would ask you to bow your head with me as we seek the Lord's special anointing and help this evening. Father, You've really been good to us again tonight in allowing Your presence to be here, walking among us, breathing on us. The songs that we've sung together in worship have touched hearts, my heart. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. And then may the reality of this special song, these words, press deep into our hearts. Remind us of them through the week and refresh us through the week. And Father, fill us. Fill us with Your Spirit. Bless now in the opening up of Your word. I pray that You would give us that anointing that is needed. Give me the anointing that I need, the strength in my weakness. Hide me behind the cross, I pray. May it be Your voice, Your words that are heard this evening, drawing us close to Jesus. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter number 6. Verse number 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine, Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding it in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. Their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. These Old Testament prophets can get boring when you read them bit by bit. Mentioned this before, and I'm not saying this to bring any hand applause or anything of that sort, but I've been reading certain books, especially in one setting. If the Lord helps me, I'm going to read the scriptures through three times this year. But I'm alarmed when I read these Old Testament prophets. The reason why I'm alarmed when I read them is because, you've heard me say it before, you've heard others say it, that people are people the world round. And the Israelite people of this scriptural generation, this time in history, really are no different from what people are in 2025. Oh, yes, there are some things that have transgressed or have improved or have shifted, and all of that stuff comes into play, but people are people. Well, there's a lot of differences between us and them, sure. There's a lot of differences between us and 100 years ago. But people are still people. And so when we see the movement of the Israelite people, we can pretty well see and understand that people do the same thing today. And so when you read this particular passage, as well as many of the other passages in these Old Testament prophets, if you're paying attention to it, you can almost see the details of what are being said in our recent history or in our present tense. We didn't read it here in this particular passage, but we can find it in Scripture kind of repeatedly. It's more than one place that we find that if they follow God, if they obey God, there's blessing. There's blessing. But when they disobey, when they turn their back on God, when they turn away from God, now it may have taken a couple few years. It may have gone down the road a little ways, but there was always, always some kind of retribution, some kind of a problem, some kind of bondage that was taking place. Losses that they had to bear and to deal with because of the disobedience. I'm astounded, though, when I get down here to these last two verses that I read, and the last phrase of these two verses are generally the same. We will not. We will not. Now, that's not the phrase that I said stands out to me tonight. That's not the phrase that really jumps off the page. That's kind of an understatement to the phrase that does jump off the page. Because I believe that just as it is in the Old Testament, as it is in the day of this particular prophet, it's the same thing here. The potential is there for us. Why? Because we are living in a world that is not a friend of grace. When you were born, you were not born with an aptitude to follow God or a desire to seek Him. Every single one of us was born with sin and a sinful intent and a sinful inclination and a sinful direction. It takes nothing short of the grace of God to turn any one of us around to face Calvary and to receive the price of Calvary to be efficacious. There's that word again. Efficacious for us. It's sufficient for us, but we receive it to become efficacious, effective. You say, well, preacher, you're beating around the bush here. What phrase is it that you're talking about? Okay, we'll get there right now. Verse number 16, the phrase that stands out to me for tonight is the five words found in 16, ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. Now, let me just say this. Let me just say this right here. That sounds cliched. That sounds like it's something that we've grown away from. You know, we've learned some things now. We've learned new ways, and we've learned better ways, and we see things differently now than what we used to. That phrase, ask for the old paths, almost, let me squeak it out here, almost sounds legalistic. Am I right? You don't have to respond. I'm not going to say, got to have an amen here or there. But I think I'm right. That phrase really just nearly squeaks out legalism. If you're of the mindset to believe that. Now, it's not a legalistic statement because it's God speaking through Jeremiah. It's not legalism. If God is the one, it's not what He's wanting us to do is to become legalistic about the old paths. But there are some specific things that I believe that He was wanting the children of Israel to do and to understand that He considered and called the old paths. The old paths. Now, first of all, let's ask the question, why in the world would we in 2025 need to ask for the old paths? Why do we need to call for the old paths? But Paul tells the Galatian church in the very first chapter in verse number 8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So, well, what is that? Why do we need to ask for the old paths? It's because there is a potential in our generation, just as it was in yesteryears, for somebody to come in and lead us astray with something new.
We've learned, the church has learned so much better to understand things and to reinterpret things. But in that learning of the new way, we have departed, we've moved away. Now, again, if you're going through the checklist and you have all the check marks knocked off and checked off, and that's what you are basing your experience of Christianity on and your hope of heaven on, then perhaps you're looking at the wrong thing, because it's not a checklist. Now, I believe that there's a list of things. There's some things that we have to do and understand and follow. But it's not that we go through and make sure that we have everything checked. It's that we are surrendered, we are following, we are obedient. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And they said, we're not walking there. We're not walking there. It's been a long time since I've read the book. It's been a long time since I've even looked at the book. Mr. Sheldon, Charles Sheldon, where he wrote the book, In His Steps. Following in His Steps. If you've never read that, I would recommend you reading it. I think it's got a lot of good points in it. And it's a good, valid book to be reading and considering. In His Steps, what would Jesus do and how would Jesus live? I'm trying my best to follow Him and to walk with Him. I think if we have it in our mind, when we are making choices and decisions, what Jesus would really and honestly do, being the Holy Son of God, it would most likely change the answers that we are receiving. The answers that we are believing and hanging on to in the way of music and of materialism and of what our entertainments are and all of these things that come into our lives and how much time is spent on whatever. How much time? I've been asked so many times, maybe I just need to get a placard and hang it on me, but I've been asked a number of times, and even in recent weeks or months, a few times I've been asked, why don't you have a TV? Boy, that's almost an affront just to even bring that up. Well, for one thing, we don't have a TV because we can get everything we need and everything we want along that same line right here at our fingertips. But it's more than that. There's a whole principle of godliness that goes into the reasoning why I don't have a TV and why I don't even partake of that stuff even on my phone. And why you shouldn't partake of it on your phone. Brother Buckler, help me. Somebody said, well, God hasn't convicted me of... You know, I've heard people say that God hasn't convicted them of things that are very clearly stated in Scripture. Now, I'm not talking about what color shoes you should wear. I'm talking about things that are clearly stated in Scripture, and I've heard people say, well, God hasn't, well, this is what God's Word said. Well, I know that's what God's Word says, but He hasn't convicted me yet. Oh, wait a minute. We're missing something if that is the case. If we are reading in Scripture and we see what Scripture is saying, we know what Scripture is, well, I haven't read that, and I've avoided that on purpose. Well, there we go again. There's a whole lot of argument here as to why people do and go and participate, because they are saying the same things that they're responding here in Jeremiah. We won't do that. We're not walking that way. I'm not going to, they said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Not because only a few are allowed on it, but because of only a few find it, to walk in it. You know, there was a time, and I don't know if it was preached back in yesteryear or if it was just a part of it, part of the context of spiritual living, but there was a carefulness. There was a carefulness in a person's walk with the Lord and the separation from the world. Instead of trying to get as close to the things of this world and the appearances of this world and the attractions of this world and the functions of this world and the materialisms of this world, there was a conscientious effort to stay away. A carefulness, a tender conscience. Do you know that you can callous your conscience by saying no? Do you realize that you can put a callous on your conscience by ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit? Do you know that you can quiet the voice of the Holy Spirit by turning away from Him and His call and His drawing and His voice? In this generation, earbuds are a common, at least some form of earbuds, whether they're the headphones or the earbuds or some way of hanging over the ear and it's pressed in right, that's a common thing in our generation. I see people driving with earbuds in their ears, and they wouldn't know if the engine in their vehicle exploded because they're covered up by all the noise that's being pounded into their ears. Well, that's not even what we're talking about. No, it's not what we're talking about. But you see, that's what so often we do. When we ignore the things of the Scripture or the voice of God, we are callousing our conscience and we are turning away from the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we get further away and His voice is more distant. And we get to the point, some people get to the point where they say, well, I can't hear God speaking to me. I don't know where God is. Well, turn around and go back, because probably the whole problem exists in the direction that a person went away from God. You say, well, God always chases after. He goes after the lost lamb. He does, but He doesn't force you to come back. If your hearing has been compromised. You know, I'm at that point in age and in whatever. I don't know what all I can blame it on, but, I just can't hear. And sometimes I hear something, but I don't know where it's coming from. Sometimes you speak up in a testimony, or if I don't see movement, I don't know where you are. Sometimes it works at the home, when my wife's talking and I didn't hear. Doesn't always work, but sometimes. Tender conscience and a carefulness and a concern for the weaker brethren, the weaker sisters. What are the old paths? Well, let's just keep it as simple as we can tonight by saying that the old paths are what is revealed in God's Word in which holy men walked. Holy women walked. I've admonished young people from time to time for years that if they really, truly don't know where and how to walk, that they should find the most godly person that they can and get as close to that person as they can. Don't pick out the one that is the most distant, the one that you think of as the furthest away. I don't get it when people say that, oh, this individual is the most godly person I have ever known, and yet they don't do anything like that person. They don't live in any way like that person. How did they expect that individual to get to that status where we think of them as the most godly if nothing matters in the way that they live? Just like I said, was it this morning that I mentioned that we take that verse, I will hide God's word in my heart, and it's a light unto my feet, it's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, and we memorize that, but then we don't even pay attention to the rest of it. We don't even read what God's word says. Jeremiah 42, verse 3, that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing that we may do. I believe that that's the King James translation. That the Lord may God, the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk. I've known people that got saved in nominal places and nominal worship places, and God led them. God led them out. God led them into holy paths and distinctives. Jeremiah is saying that God, that the Lord thy God may show us. The Amplified adds a word to the beginning of that sentence, the beginning of that verse. I like that addition. I'm not sure. I didn't look into it to see how the Amplified got and found that word to be necessary in that, but I think it fits, though. That word is pray. Pray that the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk. Sometimes we get wrapped up in asking opinions. It's not about opinions. It's not about opinions. Caleb texted me this week and he said, Dad, your IHC sermon's back on IHC 24/7. It's like, man, that's been so many years ago. I can't believe that they haven't lost that yet. They were supposed to take out a word in there, if you recall. I don't know. I didn't go back and listen. But that whole 10-minute message came from somebody giving their opinion without even knowing the wholeness of the circumstances, and so therefore led this person into doing something that to me is obviously against the Scripture. It's not about opinion. It's about what God's opinion, human opinion, it's about God's opinion. It's about what God's word says. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. Acts 2, quoting King David, you have made known to me the ways of life. Why should we walk in the old paths? Why should we? Why do we ask for them? What are they? Why should we walk in them? Because there's rest. I could rest my case there. Because there's rest. That's what he said. Ye shall find rest for your souls. I think somebody just spoke about rest on a Wednesday night recently. Ye shall find rest. We find rest in our souls when we are compliant with the Holy Spirit, when we are obedient to the Holy Spirit. You see, it's in these old paths. Why should we walk in them? It's in these old paths that the pilgrims experienced, the old pilgrims of old. I'm not talking about the pilgrim conference. I'm talking about the pilgrim, the blood-washed pilgrims, as the songwriter said. These people experienced the blood of Christ to justify. That is the old paths. You will not find justification from sin anywhere else except for in the old paths, the paths that lead us to Calvary, point to Calvary. It's in these old paths that we find the love of God to satisfy. It's within these old paths that we find the Spirit of power to sanctify. The same God then is the same God now. His requirements the same then are the same now. It's the same God. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Jesus said in Matthew, it's recorded in Matthew chapter number 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. So we go back to Jeremiah. And we listen to him cry to the people of Israel. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Ye shall find rest for your souls. Are you rested tonight? I'm not talking about did you get a nap this afternoon. Some of you did, some of you didn't. Some of it helped, some of it didn't. Some of you are still tired. I know it's been hot and hard. I'm not talking about that kind of. I'm talking about a rest for your soul. Is your soul at rest? Or is there strife? Is there tension? Is there a struggle that's going on within? Let me give you a quote from somebody else. That's the whole point of your salvation. It's to bring you into obedience to Christ. This is not a burdensome obedience. This is a joyful obedience, because obedience produces what? Blessing. Obedience produces blessing in this life. Grace upon grace, and it also produces reward, eternal reward in the life to come. But you may not have realized that when you came to Christ and you confessed your sin and your sinfulness and you asked Him to save you from your sins and to become your Lord and Savior, inherent in that was an oath of obedience. Wow. You were saying, I confess Jesus as my Lord. What that means is, if He's your Lord, you are His slave. That is putting it pretty close, isn't it? Pretty close to life. You are His slave. There was inherent in that confession an oath of obedience. Wow. Is He Lord? Are you following Him as Lord? Is your life filled consistency with obedience? Walking in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses. God help us. Are you at rest? That's what the scripture says. Ask for the old paths. Wherein is a good way? Walk therein. Ye shall find rest for your souls. Are you at rest? Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. Lord, help me. Is every heart clear this evening? So good to see each one of you, have you in our service. Thank you for your attendance and attention tonight. Lord, bless you this week. And trust that God would walk with us every day. Do your best to tell somebody about Jesus. Give them your testimony, your witness. Just let them know that Jesus made a change in your life, in your heart. Pray one for the other. Burdens that are carried. Amen. Sister Amy, would you dismiss us in prayer?